Your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter. The 12th chapter of 2 Samuel in your Scofield Bible, page 367. We'll be reading verses 18 through 25. And of course, we'll read these verses responsively. 2 Samuel, chapter 12, verses 18 through 25, page 367. And let's please stand for the reading of the Word of God. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said, He is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while he was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. And David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went in unto her, and lay with her. And she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jediah because of the Lord. And let's pray. Thanks, Lord, for this wonderful day. It's wonderful because it's Sunday. It's the day that we get to come together as a portion of your family. Thank you for this great church. Thank you for the thrilling news about the college enrollment. Thank you for the blessing of just being in this place, seeing things progress. We thank you for the remodeling. But we thank you especially that when we come together here, that we're assured of thy presence and thy power. Help us to give our hearts and our attention now to the preaching, to the man of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
A little line out of it. Just a little snack to feed our hungry souls. And yet, in this little snack, how packed with vitamins it is, spiritual vitamins and strength. Bless the preacher as he preaches and the people as they hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. When I get to heaven, after I've seen my Savior, my mama, and those whom I have loved dearest on earth, the first Bible character I want to see is David. I love David. I've always loved David. When I was a little boy, I liked the little guy that took those 5 stones and took that slingshot and knocked the stuffings out of that big giant. I've always loved David. Several years ago, I was reading this about David in the Bible, and I came to the part where David took off that day from the battles. And I hollered and said, David, don't do it. Don't do it, David. Don't do it. And then when Bathsheba came out on the rooftop, and David started to, just before he looked, I stood up alone and waved my hands and said, David, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it, David. Don't look. I want to talk to you this morning about David. I'm going to leave you this morning one of the most beautiful statements in all the Bible. A statement that from this moment forward you'll never read without weeping or almost weeping, I feel sure. I'll give it to you in a few minutes, but come with me first. And let me have your purposeful attention as I talk to you about one little line, simply five words long. Come with me for a minute to a little family circle. It's a happy day in this family because a new baby is born. I mean, that's always a happy day. I thought as the girls were singing a while ago and our daughter Cindy was singing, I remember the day that she was born, and thank God that she was. But here is a little family circle. Here's a father and a mother and a new baby. And you know something about the joy of that kind of that type of a day. Yet, a dark shadow is cast over this little family. You see, the father is David. Are you listening to me now? Everybody listen right this way. I've got something for you, and I want you to hear it. A shadow is cast over this little family. Father is David. The mother is Bathsheba. The child is Solomon. Can you picture in your mind a cute little boy? And can you picture a happy father? And can you picture a happy mother? But the shadow is the shadow of a grave, a tombstone not far away. A tombstone that marks the burial place of the first husband of this mother. For you see, David had murdered him. After David had taken Bathsheba, he then had Uriah murdered and was guilty of his murder. And not far from that stone is another little grave. It's a grave where Bathsheba's illegitimate child is buried, fathered by David. You read about it a while ago when David stood there at the grave or at the death of the body of the child and said, he shall not return to me, but I shall go to him. That's one of the greatest statements in all the Bible. I mean, if you got somebody in heaven that's very dear to you, they won't come back here now. They will during the millennium, but not now. But you shall go to them. And so it's tempered. Their joy is tempered. Their laughter is mingled with tears. And their sunshine is shadowed by a couple of grave markers. So here they are sitting there, David, Bathsheba, and they named the boy Solomon. And there's one little line that I want you to notice. You need not turn to it. But the last five words of 2 Samuel 12:24 says, and the Lord loved him. Solomon, the offspring of this unholy alliance, an unholy relationship, and the Lord loved him. Solomon, whose father was a murderer and whose mother was a harlot, and the Lord loved him. May I share something else with you in parentheses? Don't leave me now. Don't be sort of lackadaisical. Listen on purpose this morning. And I want to tell you something very, very beautiful. Remember the story of David and Bathsheba? Remember who came and preached David a sermon? It was his brother Nathan. And Nathan told David the story about that little ewe lamb. And he told him the story about how that one fellow had a whole bunch of sheep, and he took the little one little lamb the other fellow had, and David said, "Oh, that's terrible! That fellow will be punished." And Solomon pointed his finger in the face of the king, and Nathan did, and said to David, "Thou art the man." You see, Nathan was in a sense David's pastor, but now wait a minute. This Nathan's the guy that let David have it. He pointed his finger in the face of the king and said, "You're the man. You stole this. You murdered this fella. And you took this one little ewe lamb that he had when you have a whole harem of 1,000 women." And he said, "Thou art the man." Now, just a little while later, just a bit later, David and Bathsheba have a boy. They named that boy Solomon. And guess whom they called to rejoice with them? They called the preacher. I love this. They knew the preacher still cared.
They knew that that man that preached the hardest was the man that loved the most. And they knew that the fact that David had let them have it back yonder, and Nathan said, "Thou art the man." They knew that preacher loved them, and they called Nathan, and Nathan came to that little family circle and made a house call and prayed for that little boy. And the Bible says that Nathan even gave the boy a name, Jedediah, a name which means beloved of the Lord, and they called the preacher. I want to tell you something this morning, listen to me. I want to tell you something. Whenever the devil and the tempter has caused you to stumble and fall, whenever sin has come into your life and it's all wrecked and ruined, let me tell you something. Call the preacher. Call the preacher. There's somebody that still cares. You're looking at him right now. As I look across this, the other day I went to the ladies' foster club of the drive-in ladies, and I looked out and I saw those ladies and remembered all the heartaches and pains that we'd shared together. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care how far you go. You won't get away from your preacher's love. And your preachers care. And, I love that. I love it. Their pastor still loves them. Still loves them. Here's David, a murderer, but his preacher still loves him. I thought this morning, I was thinking about Pete, one of our mission men who was a wino. And he was a drunk. And Pete would come to my office and he'd be as drunk as could be. And he'd say, "Brother Jack," he'd say, "I love you. Could I have a dollar?" And I'd say, "Pete, I can't give you a dollar. I know what you're going to do with that dollar. I can't give you a dollar." And Pete would say, "Brother Jack, I just want a dollar. I need a dollar for it. I need to go down and buy me a meal." I said, "I'll take you down and buy you a meal, but I won't give you a dollar." And Pete would put his head on my shoulder and say, "Brother Jack, I know you love me. I know you love me." And I did. And I do. And I love the farthest one from God. And the one that's gone into sin the farthest. I love that. But I'm simply saying, that's what a preacher's for. And that's what a church is for. They called Nathan and the preacher still loved him. But I got some better news than that. God still loved him too. God still loved him. That little family circle. God's heart had been broken because of what David had done. And God's heart had been broken because of what Bathsheba had done. And David had just a few months before laid that little baby to rest that was born. And Bathsheba had laid that little baby to rest that was born and lived a little while and died. And now that little family circle with a cloud caused by a tombstone of Uriah and a tombstone of a little baby. And now the family circle gathers around. There's nothing they can do about the past. Why don't you quit criticizing and folks about the past? There's nothing we can do about the past. But bless God, there's something we can do about the future. In that little circle there, God says, God came and God still loved them. And then back to our text now. One of the most beautiful texts in all the Bible. It says, and the Lord loved him. That little baby, Solomon. At first glance, I asked myself, what chance does he have? What chance does little Solomon have? Little illegitimate, well, not illegitimate, but a little child. His brother was illegitimate, and his father's a murderer, and his mother's a harlot. And there, that little Solomon is born. At first glance, I say, what chance does he have? And at second glance, I remind myself of the greatness of our God and the loving, compassionate heart of Jehovah God. And I say to myself, that little boy has as much chance as anybody in the world has. And the Lord loved him. That's the title of my message. And the Lord loved him. He loved that little Solomon. Now, why did God choose Solomon to say, and he loved him? Why didn't God choose somebody born in a palace to say he loved that child? Listen carefully, I'll tell you why. What God did, God goes as far as he can away from righteousness and says, I love you. He goes as far as he can away from purity, and says, I love you. Now, if God goes all the way to King David, a murderer, and all the way to Bathsheba, a harlot, and all the way to their little boy who's born to an unholy relationship, and says, I love you, I bind you, God loves everybody in between. And this one little statement, God is saying, I love you. He's saying to you, educable, slow people over here, who are so important to Brother Hiles, whom I love so very much. He's saying to you, I love you. I love you as much as I love anybody. He's saying to these rescue mission men up here whose lives have been blighted and hurt by sin, I love you. He says to these deaf people back here who live in a world of silence, I love you. He says to these blind folks back here who live in a world of darkness, I love you. He says to you sailors here, I love you. He says to the Vietnamese department, I love you. He says to the Spanish department, Yo amo usted. And I love you. He says to the fallen woman today whose skirts are filthy with the blood of unholy relationships, I love you. He says to a man who spent his time in the prostitution neighborhood last week, I love you. He says to the one who spent last night in the gutter drunk and unaware of who you are, I love you. He says to the one whose arm is punctured with needles, I love you. I love you. He goes out to David and Bathsheba and Solomon, as far away from right as you can get, as far away from wholeness as you can get, and say, I love you. And bless God, if God loves that far out, God must love everybody in between. I know no better news, as I've said so often, than this. God loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me, and Jesus loves you. Reminds me of another story that's so precious to me. The story of Abraham and Sarah. God had promised Abraham and Sarah they would have a boy. And God had promised them that that boy would be given the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. But Abraham and Sarah are getting old. They have no children. And they lose their faith. And Sarah says to Abraham, we got this little girl here, Hagar, who's a slave, a servant, a handmaid. She said, why don't you go ahead and you do, she didn't use the word do wrong, but you know what I meant, with her, and she can conceive and give us a son, and then you will have a son that can fulfill the promise of God. I've got news for you. God doesn't need any help from you to fulfill His plan. And but Abraham did go in under this little Hagar, and she did get pregnant, and she had a baby. Now here's a little baby with an Egyptian mother and Abraham for a father. And here's a little baby born out of wedlock and has no home and has no house and has no daddy and mother that live together. Here's this little baby born out of wedlock. And then one time all of a sudden Sarah says to Abraham, I'm jealous of that woman. She's got to get out of this place. She can't live here anymore. And the Bible says that the Hagar, that little slave woman, takes this illegitimate child whose name was Ishmael, and she leaves, and she begins to cry, and she sits down under a tree, and she puts the boy a little distance away, and she begins to cry under a tree, and that little baby boy begins to cry. Now hear me now, little illegitimate child, little boy born out of wedlock, and all of a sudden the child begins to cry, and it says, God heard the voice of the lad. God heard the voice of the lad. One time when I was a teenager, my daddy, I was about 13 years old, and my daddy had been out drunk all night, and he came home and he beat up on my mama, and we didn't have any breakfast the next morning, and I didn't have any shoes to wear to church. And I went to church, and my preacher preached on this subject, and God heard the voice of the lad. Oh, I love that. God hears the voice of the mission man. God hears the voice of the pathfinder. God hears the voice of the forsaken. God hears the voice of the bus kid. God hears the voice of the lonely. God hears the voice of the retarded. God hears the voice of the sinful. God hears your voice. I don't care who you are. Hallelujah. Praise God. He hears your voice today. Boy, my preacher read that passage and preached on that to me. I went home and I realized that God hears my voice. I heard Pastor Roy Thompson, who's one of my dear friends, this week tell about his early life. When he was a boy, he and his mother were street people, slept on park benches. He said, my mother and I would dig into garbage cans to find food to eat. He told about the marvelous grace of God and how now he's pastor of the largest church in Cleveland, Ohio. I remember that day when the hallway of my office, Maxine Jeffries and I saw a deaf lady, had two little boys, We saw that, and she had to give them up. She couldn't rear them. I remember that day when she brought those two boys and kissed them goodbye, and that mother walked away from those boys. But God's loved those boys. One of them, maybe if he's not in Howells Anderson College, he's going to be in Howells Anderson College real soon. And God loved those boys. I remember that day when the welfare took two boys away from one of our families. And I stood there and saw the welfare take those two boys from that home, little boys away from that home. I know both of those boys. And I know God loves them. I remember up here at St. Margaret's Hospital taking a little baby from the arms of a mother who wanted to place it for adoption because she wasn't married, and walking down the hallway of that hospital with that baby to the lobby and handing that baby to the arms of a couple adopting that baby. Oh, I'm glad today that God loves everybody. I'm glad that God loved that little boy, Solomon. Little family circle there, and Solomon is the baby, and David the father, and the murderer for a father, and the harlot for a mother. It doesn't matter. God loves you. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for you. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. God loves you. He loved that little baby in Texas. Was left. A lady came to me and she said, "Brother Hiles, could God love me?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "When I was a baby, my mother and dad didn't want me, and they tried to murder me, and they put me in a haystack to suffocate me and walked away thinking I was dead. And somebody walked by that haystack and heard a cry and dug in that haystack and found me. And Brother Hiles, I was that baby. I don't even know my mama. I don't want to know my mama. I don't know my daddy. I don't want to know my daddy. They tried to kill me. But Brother Hiles, could God love me? Could God love you? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Stand amazed in the presence to know that God could love me. I revel in that love this morning. I woke up in a motel room Tuesday morning, my birthday. It was 12:30 before anybody said happy birthday to me Tuesday. And I opened my Bible to this passage, and the Lord loved him. And I think I heard Jesus saying, "Happy birthday to me." He loved me when my daddy was an alcoholic and we lived in the ghetto of Southwest Dallas. He loves you today. Revel in it. Bask in it. Praise God for it. The Creator of the universe loves you. Let's go back to that little family circle quickly. I think I can read David's mind. David said, "Can God ever use me again?" I think I can hear him as he says, "After what I've done, I can see that tombstone in my mind. It's just a few yards away from where I am now. I can see it. I could walk to the window probably and see the tombstone of Uriah. And beside that, the tombstone of my little baby, conceived in Bathsheba's womb. God, could you ever use me again?" Let me remind you that after that, David wrote the greatest psalms of his life. Oh yes, God used him again. And oh yes, God can use you again. But you say, "Preacher, you don't know what I've done." I don't care what you've done. Have you killed anybody? Have you killed a woman's husband? God can use David, and God can use you. I think I can see into the heart of Bathsheba. I think I can see into her heart. And I think I can see her as she thinks, "I wonder if there's anything God could ever do with me." Oh yes, Bathsheba. You check in the Bible, you'll find Bathsheba became one of the best mothers in all the Bible. May I say this morning to you, come now, let us reason together. though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Let me say to that little lady that's in this room right now, who was once a prostitute in Calumet City, has been a member of our Sunday school's teaching staff for many years now, let me say to that little lady, God doesn't even know you ever lived in Calumet City. God doesn't know you're a prostitute. Why? He's forgotten all of your sins. That's why. If you walked up to God this morning and said, God, forgive me for the sins I committed over there in the red light district, Calumet City, God look at you and say, what sins are you talking about? Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Why don't you shout and say, glory to God, praise God. He loves me and He'll use me again. And to look at that little baby, he doesn't know it. But the Lord loved him. The Lord loved him. Too many stories I know I could never begin to tell them. Too many stories I know about families in this room this morning. Little children that don't know it, but they were born out of wedlock. Oh, so many stories. My mind will, I will die with the stories in my mind and never share them with anybody on the face of the earth. But God loves every one of them. Every one of them. You know the story. I often tell it. Of the famous scientist who spent his life trying to discover things for the benefit of mankind. And one day somebody came to him and said, you've discovered many things. You've discovered many things to make life easier for man. And they ask him, what's the greatest discovery you ever made? The scientist closed his book. He put down his pen and put down his glasses and looked up, and the tears in his eyes said, the greatest discovery I ever made is Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but sing it with me, ready? Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me. That, he said, is the greatest discovery I ever made. And that's the greatest discovery I ever made. And that's the greatest discovery you'll ever make. I have to think this morning in closing about that little Sunday school teacher who put me on her knees when I was 5 years old. No shoes. All the other children had shoes, but I had no shoes. Patches on my knees and a little white T-shirt. All the other little boys had on shirts and ties. And that Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Bethel, looked at me and said, Jackie boy, we're so glad to have you today. Jackie boy, did you know Jesus loves you? And I looked up at her. And I said, Mrs. Bethel, does He love me as much as He loves little boys and girls that have on shoes? And she said, Jackie boy, He probably loves you more than anybody in this classroom today. From that moment to this, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And there's Bathsheba, forgiven. And there's David, forgiven. And there's little Solomon. He doesn't know it, but it's in the Bible. And the Lord loved him. Our Heavenly Father,